Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload podcast. Today's guest is Tom Gallagher, who is a VP of Engineering and head of Microsoft's Security Response Center, MSRC. Hello, Tom, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Cliff. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I've just been looking at your background, and you've been at Microsoft a very long time. Unfortunately, I've been at Computer Weekly a very long time too. And, I guess things have changed in terms of responsible security disclosure. There's a better way of saying that, but... I remember when it was in the early 2000s when I got a call from someone who was the one of the security leads in Microsoft UK, telling me about this deadly bug, and it turned out to be SQL Slammer. So that was in the early 2000s, and how has Microsoft itself adapted as, threats to enterprise security have evolved?
Yeah, Cliff, it's great to talk to somebody with such a long history in the security space. There's a lot of interesting stories and memories. Some are really etched into our brains, I think, from these security events. I think back then in the early 2000s, the idea of coordinated vulnerability disclosure isn't as mature as it is today. Bug bounties aren't really a big thing either. The security researchers, though, have always provided great perspective to Microsoft and I think to many people across the industry. And, moments like that help everyone kind of step back and evolve. One of the things that came out of SQL Slammer is just rethinking about exploit code and publishing and when is the appropriate time and to what level of detail and all of those sorts of things. Today, industry-wide, there's pretty wide adoption of coordinated vuln disclosure, or CVD. Mm. That really allows security researchers to report privately to the vendor the security issue, for the vendor to work urgently to fix that issue, and then together to disclose that issue to the public. Transparency has always been a really important thing to me personally, and certainly it's a big deal to Microsoft and our customers. Mm.
You mentioned SQL Slammer, which is actually the one that I got the call from Microsoft in the early 2000s about. Just out of interest, do you have any idea how people come up with the names for these things? I was writing about Stuxnet in 2010 and the Intel bugs, the Meltdown and Spectre in 2019. What great names for these flaws in that affect enterprise IT and hardware systems in those cases.
I think a couple of things. One, some of them are just kind of mysterious. Usually it's either the person that finds the bug, or if it's an exploit in the wild, the person that identifies that, there's something being used in the wild. There's usually some type of hint or tie back to the root cause, the vulnerability itself. Hmm. But certainly I can admire the creativity that people have used with these names.
So it's a bit like the astronomers who find a new star or a new comet or something and they get to name it.
Yeah, you get the rights to name it if you're the first to find it.
I guess on a more sort of serious note, what are your concerns going forward regarding responsible disclosure?
Yeah, so coordinated vuln disclosure is something that has matured, like we talked about. I think the next kind of piece of that is about the rules of engagement. Back when people started having discussions about coordinated voluntary disclosure, what you're referring to as responsible disclosure, it was mostly people going and finding vulnerabilities by installing pieces of software on their system, attacking their own system, but then publishing details of how that vulnerability worked, sometimes in ways that allowed other people to attack systems. As the software industry has evolved, you start to see more and more shift to the cloud. And so you're no longer attacking a piece of software installed on your own machine. You're attacking something that's in the cloud in a production environment. And so it's really important that we align and we agree on rules of engagement so that we can find security vulnerabilities to keep those systems up and protected, and to make sure that we're emphasizing our energy collectively on protecting customers.
And I guess, I mean, this is before my time as well, right? But, well, I did work on a magazine that we didn't actually do the cover disc, but in the early 90s and late 80s, you would have had a cover disc on your magazine you bought in the shops, because that was how you got code. And the floppy disk was the way of distributing viruses until the internet made it possible to distribute them in a much more efficient way. I'm just thinking aloud here, but it does seem that there's the... You touched on the cloud and the effects of the cloud, I think. The fact that there's bits of code, there's software that is embedded in infrastructure, technical infrastructure, that has such a profound effect on everyone. And if something goes wrong with it, it's, you know, every computer on the planet needs upgrading. And, you know, we know this has happened with things like SSL, but it's going to happen time and time again. And I guess we have to get people to a position where they understand that if something goes wrong, if there's a security alert out there, you have to apply a patch, you have to fix it.
Yeah, one of the things that we do in the Microsoft Security Response Center is we issue all of the security updates. So if you've seen a CVE or a Patch Tuesday, that came from the MSRC team.
Yes.
And so I think there's a couple of things. Like, one, certainly important for us to drive the right level of urgency to get those patches out quickly. It's also really important that we provide actionable information to customers. So we have something called the Security Update Guide that we provide so that customers can go through and understand what the risks are to their environment, to prioritize patching at the appropriate speed. Okay. We know that not everyone is going to immediately install patches, and so we want to be transparent and make that as easy to prioritize as possible.
Yes. I mean, what is your advice to people who can't patch immediately? I mean, this does happen in organizations, and particularly those that have, you know, quite locked down environments. They need to do... Well, in the past, and when I used to cover this a lot, there was a company that offered a service which allowed enterprise IT departments, IT admins, to kind of analyze what the Patch Tuesday update would mean in terms of compatibility with all of the software they're running in their organization. So this came out of banking. You've got thousands of applications. Does this Windows update have an impact on those applications? And they used to run a compatibility test across all of those applications and provide feedback. Now, clearly, you know, if something breaks in their IT, that's the last thing that they need. But also, they don't want to be open to vulnerabilities. How do they get around that?
So the first thing is, our goal is to ship really high quality patches so that, you know, people have trust in the updates that they're installing.
Yes.
So we spend a lot of energy, Microsoft spends a lot of energy, not just fixing the security issue, but making sure that the functional aspects of that update continue to operate as expected, so that, you know, customers don't have some of the concerns that you just described. There will be customers that want to do additional testing and things like that. One of the things that we do is we'll publish the update. We'll also often publish some mitigating steps that you could take before you install an update. Mm-hmm. And then we also provide detections, not just in Defender, but we partner with major security companies so that they're able to detect and prevent some of these exploits, even if you have not yet patched your machine.
That's another question I was going to ask you, actually. So you have to coordinate with the companies that produce security software, or you do, yeah, you do collaborate with them in order order to get. I mean, this is just as a home user. I say, well, you know, there is a Microsoft update, and then, you know, my antivirus software also gets an update at the same time. You know, and so, you know, from a sort of sanity perspective, I guess, it is a coordinated effort. You know, people aren't having to, I have to look at Microsoft here, I have to look at so-and-so here, and I have to try and figure out which one makes sense to me and which one I should be using.
Yeah, I think we ship Patch Tuesday on the second Tuesday of every month. Yes. We want that to be very predictable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the sanity, we want people to be able to plan and schedule around that. The other piece around, you know, these security products like Defender, we're not going to be able to protect people in an effective way if we only wait until the second Tuesday of each month, right?
Yes.
And so those products are going to be designed in a way where they're constantly taking updates without the customer needing to take action and probably even realizing it. So, you know, your antivirus, your Defender type systems are just getting updates all the time. You don't need to take action. You're just protected.
But the Patch Tuesday is doing actual software updates. It's changing, you know, operating system components, software components. And this is another thing, actually. I was just going off on a random thought, but it is not just Microsoft software that gets patched. You know, Microsoft is part of an ecosystem of Windows software, right? So, are you responsible for coordinating all of that activity?
No, we just coordinate the Microsoft updates. Certainly, there are some other folks in industry like Adobe who have aligned to that Patch Tuesday update cadence.
Yes, it was Adobe. It was Adobe. I was the one I was thinking of. But they have they have a relationship with you in that respect.
I mean, they're great industry partners. We don't do any, like, the updates that we install are separate from the updates that they install. But we are aligned on the date. And so from a customer standpoint, you know, you can think and plan about installing security updates on that second Tuesday of the month.
Yes. Is that something you'd like to see further expanded? As in other industry players who have software that's widely distributed, Windows software that's widely distributed, would be aligning on the same day as Microsoft?
I haven't thought super deeply about it. At the surface, it sounds like a good idea. From a customer standpoint, I could see why it would just be easier to reason over all updates instead of having to plan different days. I think having some predictable cadence is important because, you know, nobody wants to come in some day and say, oh, I'm supposed to go install a whole bunch of updates when I had something else planned.
Okay, well, Tom, well, just finally, I always ask this sort of a question, but with your security hat on, I guess, what is your big concern? What's the things that you worry about most? Or put it another way, what keeps you up at night? Hopefully you do get a chance to sleep and you're not a 24/7 guy checking security alerts.
Well, I would say I'm very energetic about AI. The energy level is probably what keeps me awake, just the excitement.
Yes.
You know, we're seeing people probing AI systems and trying to find vulnerabilities. People traditionally had to know a lot about how software is created and how the system works. And when you start interacting with an LLM system, it's more like talking to a human and trying to trick them. And so, you know, if you're trying to trick somebody in real life, you might get nervous and start sweating, and they may shut you down and say no. But when you're trying to trick an LLM system, you can just keep trying and you're not going to get nervous. And so some of those things are really clever. It's really interesting to see people from, you know, outside of the traditional software world start to apply that different perspective. And so I'm enthusiastic about that. And then also the ability to use AI systems to find vulnerabilities at scale is a new world that's very, very intriguing and fun to explore.
Well, that certainly seems to be the way forward in 2026. I'm sure things will be a lot more AI powered. Anyway, Tom, it's lovely to talk to you today. Thank you ever so much for taking part in today's podcast.
Great. Thank you, Cliff.
And thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.